Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Guys, we have an exclusive surprise for you. I know you love Mayans MC. I know you love Riz. I know you love Sons of Anarchy. We're talking all things Mayans. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, the buzz.
Guys, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. I'm Linda Antwi, and I have a very special surprise for you. To our immediate left, Antonio Jaramillo. Did I do it?
Hello, hello, hello. You did it right.
I did it.
You did it right.
How
you? You said it right. Hello, everyone.
Guys,
hello.
It's Riz.
That's right.
He's in the house.
I'm alive. No bullet holes.
No bullet holes here, guys.
I'm fine.
We were so happy to have you. Welcome.
Thank you.
I wanted to open up the show with this little video of you. So it's going to kind of be weird to watch yourself, but we're going to watch you real quick.
Over there? Here?
Over here.
Oh.
Let's check it out.
Thank you for the love and support. And I want to wish the cast much success for the rest of the seasons with the show. It's a great show. It is a great show. Great crew, great cast. And it was a nice ride. Thank you for inviting me along, and I enjoyed it. And if it is goodbye, I want to say goodbye to you all.
Okay,
I just want to say thank you for the love and support.
That makes me sad. That is sad.
But what I want to talk about, you said if there.
There's a big if, because it's TV world.
Yeah.
You know?
So could you come back as a ghost, maybe?
I could come back as a motorcycle.
As a motorcycle.
Yes, nobody will know that I'm a motorcycle. It's like, wait, why is the motorcycle moving?
Oh, by itself.
By itself.
So
with
it's
no
a
gas.
Ghost motorcycle.
Huh. Or a zombie.
Or a zombie.
You know, zombies are big.
Yeah.
Or a ghost. Or, it's TV world. It's Hollywood. I mean, anything can happen.
And I mean, when I saw you on the stretcher, they didn't have the whole blanket over your head. It was just to your neck. So that could mean anything.
That's right. That's right. It could mean anything. So who knows if the fans really want it, if you guys really want it and you ask for it. Who knows? Riz might come back as a ghost, a motorcycle, a zombie, or...
Or maybe he's not really dead.
Yeah, that's right. I was just holding my breath.
Yeah.
Because we have a bigger plan, and we wanted them to think I'm dead so that we could go to war. And then I'm just going to go to my aunt's Vicky's house.
And kick it for a little bit.
That's right, with the ladies. They'll take care of me. You know?
Anything is possible, guys. I know that all the fans right now, they're up in arms. So who knows? They might start a go change petition. They do that a lot nowadays.
Really?
Yeah, they do.
Let's do that. Why don't we do that? Let's go on strike.
Right. Change.org. Let's bring Riz back.
I'll start it, and then
we'll get like 5 million signatures, and we'll send it to the studios.
I can contribute probably 3 or 4 signatures.
Right, right. I could do about 6 or 7.
Okay, good. We got 9. Okay, we need a little more. So we'll go outside, maybe we can get some more people outside.
Right?
I know there's a couple people on the other side of that camera that like Michael Riz, maybe 3 or 4 in Japan, 1 in Russia, and 2 in Mexico. And then
J-Lo here in the booth can contribute another 5.
There.
J-Lo here. Hi. Hi, baby. Hi. I miss her. She's terrific. She's a wonderful woman. I mean, everybody knows how wonderful she is.
Yeah, absolutely.
She looks amazing.
I mean, she is definitely body goals.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I mean, she looks better than girls half her age. She looks tremendous.
Facts.
And she's so happy with A-Rod and her family. That's wonderful. I'm so happy for her.
She's amazing.
She's terrific.
We're going to get into J-Lo in a little bit. I want to start from the very, very beginning. So do we have that clip, J-Lo, that we can pop in so that he can take a look at it?
No, Jaramillo, and I play Michael Riz Ariza. I was born in Tijuana, Mexico. My mom was a young mother with 3 kids, me, my brother, my sister. She could not support all 3 of us, so me and my brother ended up in an orphanage. And that's where we were for a long time, in Mexico.
Then when I got out, I was a teenager, and they told me I had relatives in San Diego. The theater found me, the arts found me, and it was helping me be a better person within myself and deal better with whatever issues I was having. And I just kept doing it. I just kept going back to the theater, and eventually I was doing some shows, and people reacted very positive to the work I was doing. And then I ended up here in Hollywood. And then they put me in some tight jeans and a leather cut, gave me a Harley. So there you go. Go have some fun, Juan Dean. Even though I live here in America and I'm you know, I'm American too because I've been here so long, you know, I'm rooted to where I was born and where I came from, my people, their struggle. They still struggle, you know. I mean, everybody struggles, people from all around the world. But we're all the same. We're all just people trying to find a better life. That's all. You know, it doesn't matter where you come from. I just try to find the truth in the situation. Whatever the situation is, I know it's make-believe, but it's rooted in certain circumstances that are true somewhere. So I just root my work in the truth of that. I see Michael Reza more as a disconnected human being from society, so he joined the motorcycle club to feel part of something. And so with these guys, we're like, we have a brotherhood that people can see on the screen. They can feel it.
So wow. that just was so emotional for me.
Wow.
I'm sure it was for you as well.
Wow.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your beginnings and how you got started as an actor. And from watching this clip, sounds like very humble beginnings to where you are today.
Yes. No, as I said on the clip, my mom was a very young woman with three kids, and she could not support all three of us. So me and my brother ended up in an orphanage in Mexico. That's where I grew up. That's where I was with a bunch of little kids, just, you know, fighting all the time. And then when I got out, I was a teenager, and I had relatives in San Diego. I moved there to reconnect with them. Blah, blah, blah. That became a soap opera. But, you know, once I found the theater found me. I found literature, you know, Anton Chekhov, Tennessee Williams, Arthur Miller, David Mamet. It took me away from my little reality into a different world, and it opened me up, and it made me a better person. It really did. And it gave me a sense of self. It gave me a profession. It gave me a wonderful life, you know, to be an actor. I mean, I never thought I'd be an actor, really. I thought I was going to be a professional dishwasher. Because I can definitely wash dishes really good.
That's good to know, because I have a bunch of dishes and no dishwasher at home.
You know, so. I have a dishwasher at home. I don't use it.
Okay, well,
I wash
we'll
hand.
Work something out after, because
sure.
I got a lot going
I'm
on
I'm very
over
expensive,
there.
Though.
Are you?
I'm very expensive, yes. No, my hourly rate is... Oof.
Off the chain.
You can either go by hourly or you can go by the plate. It's $100
a plate. $100
a plate? Yes.
I having $100 meals on those plates?
I don't know what you eat, woman. I'm not the chef.
I mean,
you have to talk to the chef. That's not my deal.
I understand.
Because I don't cook. I can only make quesadillas. That's the only thing I make.
Oh, so you can cook, but you can wash dishes.
I'll wash the dishes, but I'm not going to cook.
Got it. Your favorite meal?
It's a good trade-off. Quesadillas.
Quesadillas.
Tacos.
Tacos.
Tequila.
And tequila.
Yes.
All together.
Or tequila by itself. I'm good.
I like tequila.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I put it in my cereal.
So, my cereal. What was your first theatrical play?
I did a...
excuse me.
I did a play in San Diego. What was it called? I don't recall the name of it, but the story was beautiful. It was my first opportunity. It was a story about this guy who was in a tough situation and could not get a job, so he got a job as a gigolo.
Okay.
But, of course, he didn't want to do this job. And then he goes to an old man's house thinking he's there to provide gigolo services, whatever those are. I don't know what gigolos do.
I don't either.
But he showed up to do his gig, and, of course, he didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees this guy in a wheelchair on the other side of the room. And the whole play is I'm on one side of the room, he's on the other side, and we just – are talking to one another and getting closer and closer to one another. Of course, I want to hurt the old man because of what he wants from me or think that he wants from me. And in the end, we find out that all the old man wanted was company because he hadn't left his apartment in 30 years. He was in a wheelchair and he was blind.
So
he was lonely. He just wanted company. And so we became – it was a beautiful – the ending of the play was beautiful and people responded so – in a positive way to the work. And then I was like, what is this? I had never done anything like that. And then they asked me to do something else, and I ended up doing more stuff. And I was like, wow, this is cool. Because I never felt like I was accepted. You know, I felt like I was rejected by everyone. Being in an orphanage, that's how you feel.
Yeah.
You feel like you're a reject, you know. But then when people were accepting me by the work, I'm like, oh, if I really do this really well, people like me. And so here I am.
Now, how did you make the jump from San Diego and theater to Hollywood and TV?
People kept telling me to move to L.A., and I didn't want to because I don't like the city too much. There's too much traffic.
Yeah, for real.
A lot of traffic.
For real.
And I don't know, just I didn't like it. You know, I like San Diego. I like it's a beautiful city.
Mm-hmm.
And I like living there. But people kept saying, you got to go to L.A., you got to go to L.A. And I'm like, for what? For what? I got a job, you know, because I was working at a restaurant. I'm like, I got a job thinking, you know, that's all I need.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, you got to go over there. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. But it wasn't until 2004 that the Geffen Playhouse offered me a job to understudy several roles for one of their productions.
Wow.
And I was like, wait, I didn't go to Juilliard, Yale, Tisch, Carnegie Mellon. I mean, I'm a dropout from kindergarten. Really, I'm a dropout from everything. And these people want to give me an opportunity to be on stage and work with them. Then I said, well, if they're giving me a green light, it's for something. So I decided to quit my job and just pack everything. And then I moved to L.A. in 2004 to work at the Geffen because the job was 7 days a week. And then when the job ended, I was jobless. I was like, now what?
Now what?
Now what? And so I got a part-time job for a little bit working at Masuhisa, you know, the sushi place.
Yep.
Before there was Nobu's. There was no Nobu's. It was just Masuhisa, the original Nobu Masuhisa right there in Beverly Hills. I worked there. And for a little bit, not too long, because I'm like, wait, I didn't come to L.A. to do this kind of work.
Yeah.
And then I got another job, and then another job. You know, and I've been between jobs, but I've been very fortunate to continue working, you know, off and on.
What was your first major audition in L.A.?
I don't know what was major, because I never watched TV. I didn't grow up on TV. I still don't have one. You know, I have a VCR, but I can't rent movies anymore. There's nowhere
to
go.
Did you say you have a VCR?
Yeah. And they close all the Hollywood videos? Blockbuster's no longer around? What's up with that? I'm driving around going, I can't find a location, so I can't rent any more VCRs. So I end up watching the same Rocky One for, like, ever. Anyways, I didn't know what major was. I just focused on the work. I really didn't know. I had a different sensibility to the business. I didn't come here to be a star. I was just enjoying the growth that was happening within me as a human being by getting out of myself into a different reality that was written on paper.
Yeah.
It just made me a better person not to be in my cocoon and think about me, and oh my God, and all this.
Now, did you always have a great memory? Because, you know, as an actor and having to learn lines daily, that's a lot.
You know, it's not that difficult in the TV world or movie world because you shoot two or three pages at a time. I mean, it's not a lot. It's when you do stage work that you got to learn 120 pages. You have to learn them because you're on stage for 2 hours. There's no break. Like, oh, I'm sorry, wait, hold on for a second. No.
Line.
No, you do the show. That's when you work on stage, the work and the presence you have to hold for all that time and your connection to the actors, the connection to the text, and all the technical things, realizing that, you know, it is a show and they have to hear you and they have to, you know, it's a different energy. And I really enjoy stage work. And I mean, TV world is different because it's the same, it's rooted in the same truth, but it's more condensed because the camera is closer. Now you have a mic. So.
Do you think that you will do more theater work in the future?
I want to. Okay. I really enjoy theater work. I did Anna and the Tropics not long ago. We closed maybe almost 3 months ago, and it was pretty good. People enjoyed it. We were nominated for a couple things locally. So it was a nice production of Anna and the Tropics, if you know the play. It's pretty cool. And 2 years ago, I did another Russian play, 3 Days in the Country, which is very funny. I'm a member of Antilles Theater Company, which is one of the most respected and well-known theater companies in town, and all around, people know Antilles.
That's wonderful. How did you end up in the Sons of Anarchy world?
You know, through a friendship. My friend Emilio Rivera, who was in the original Sons of Anarchy as the original Mayans guy, he, you know, once they started auditioning to do the Mayans MC, he sent me a text or called me, I don't recall, and he said, hey, have you read for Mayans MC? I'm like, no. Are you going to? I'm like, I hope so. He goes, well, you should get in now. But everybody was getting in. It was just a everybody wanted to get in, and it was busy, and there was no, it was just crazy when it first started. The buzz was crazy. Everybody wanted to be part of it. I'm like, yeah, no, I'll tell my people, and, you know, I'll get in, you know. And then eventually, once the smoke cleared a little bit, Emilio talked to them about me, I think. And then they invited me to come in, and then I did. I did a couple readings. I read for so many things, even for the part of a motorcycle, which was crazy. And I'm like, wait, what? Really? And I almost got it. I almost got it. Watch, I'll show you. No, wait, no. See, I don't have it right now. I know. Yeah, that didn't sound like a Harley.
At all.
That was like a moped. Yeah. That's why I didn't get that part.
That's why you didn't get that part.
So they offered me the Michael Riz part.
I love it. And who is, like, describe Riz from your perspective as an actor.
From my perspective, I think when I first met with the creators, when I met with Kirk and Elgin, I let them know that I didn't want to be the stereotypical bad guy on a motorcycle. I wanted to come from a different world. And that's why I had all my ink on my arms with spiritual ink, mm-hmm. like scriptures.
Yeah.
Because I had a different angle I wanted them to, that I wanted them to use. I had this whole reality in my own head that he was a guy who grew up in the church, but he was disillusioned by the church, not by religion and not by God, but by the church itself because of all the wrongdoing that they do. Mm-hmm. So he left the church and he felt so disconnected and lost that he joined the motorcycle club to feel part of something and feel, you know, have some sort of brotherhood. And that's, you know, that's why I was chilled and relaxed and, you know, different kind of vibe than all the other guys. And maybe that's why people resonated with Riz, Michael Riz, because he was chilled. He was cool. You know, and that's where I came from. That's how I saw him. And I also saw him as a really good fighter. Well, that's what they told me. You know, can you fight? I'm like, I can fight. So.
And could you ride motorcycles prior
yes.
to this?
No,
you
could? I was one of the few guys that could ride motorcycles. I rode motorcycles for like 12 years before. But then when my son was born, 13 years ago, I gave it up because, you know,
I have to provide
for him. And it's not safe for me to be, you know, going crazy on a motorcycle. So I gave it up. But no, I knew how to ride. Me and Richard, me and Coco, we knew how to ride. And who else? I think that's it. I think just me
just
and Richard.
Just the two of you.
I think so. Well, and Frankie, you know, then the rest of them, you know, went to the motorcycle school.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about season 2, episode 9, because that's the pivotal episode that everyone's talking about and everyone's up in arms.
What happened? Because I keep seeing these things on social media.
I'm not quite sure what happens, but let me take a crack at it. Okay. So you get shot up by the Vatos.
I do?
I think you do. Do you not?
I don't. Why? I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
Is this why people are sending me messages?
I think so.
Oh, my God. Everybody's so sad. And I'm like, what happened?
There's a petition on.
Because I'm still on season one. I haven't.
Oh, yeah. Your VCR.
My VCR.
Yeah, that's it.
So I'm still on. I'm on episode 2, season 1.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's going on season 2.
Okay, so I'm
going
to fill you in on what happened. So
Thanks. You
get shot up by the Vatos, which are like a rival club. And you're lying in a hospital bed, tubes all over the place, can't breathe. I think you have a collapsed lung. And Taza,
yeah, my brother.
Your brother loves you, says it out loud, but he also kills you.
I know. And I saved his life. I put myself in front of the bullets for him because the bullets were going towards him. They were aiming to kill him. And I put my life in front of his. And then he takes my life. I don't know, Raul, if you're watching, if you're listening, what's up with that, bro?
Yeah, what's up with that?
I'm going to come over to your house and hurt you.
We have questions, lots of them.
We have lots of questions.
So your death is setting up a war for the season 2 finale. Did you know that your character was going to be placed in such an important position in his death?
No, working with Kurt Sutter, you know very little because he likes to ride episode by episode. So you don't know. Things can change like that. You know, it's going this way, then it goes that way. So, no, I didn't have much advance notice, you know. I mean, other than 1 week notice when I saw the script. Mm. And then I punched the wall. And then I drove over to his house. And then he called the cops on me, and then it got ugly. Yeah.
I mean, the fans are still very, very upset about it.
Yeah.
They have a question. So had you not been tubes in and in the hospital, how would you have voted, vengeance or money?
I say vengeance. We have to avenge ourselves, yes. You don't allow that to happen. Money is not that important. That's the problem with society, that we get driven by materialistic things, by money. Money, sure, it's a tool, mm-hmm. but it should not replace brotherhood. It should not replace blood. It should not. No, I would say we have to go back and get them.
So do you think that Taza did this in order to have the right thing done instead of standing down, forcing them to get vengeance? So your death, in essence, was the right thing to do?
Either that or he was very jealous of my hair. And he said, I got to take this dude out.
I do have to say that when you got shot, and they said it on screen, your body looked a mess, but your hair was perfect.
No, I know. I've been already contacted by Vidal Sassoon.
Uh-huh.
They want to sponsor me.
Yeah. You know, like I'm a surprised tennis player. You don't already aren't sponsored by them.
No, I had a contract with Pert Plus.
Oh, Pert Plus. Plus.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I'm going up. I'm going up the ladder. Eventually, I'll make it to Paul Mitchell.
Do you use a special brush for your hair?
No, I don't. I don't even use a brush or a blow dryer. I use my hands. You know, I really don't. I didn't spend any time in the trailer where they do the hair and makeup. And they can ask the department. I would take 2 minutes. I just say, good morning, how are you? It's a motorcycle club show. I don't need anything. Let's go.
So you have naturally beautiful hair, though.
Apparently. You know, don't give me credit. Give the credit where it's due, which is my parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. They did all the work.
Right.
And then I showed up.
You just showed up.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't like it when people take credit of, I had nothing to do with this. Anyways.
So what would you say to the fans who are basically feeling just crazy right now over your death?
You know, first I would say thank you, if I can talk to you directly, to the fans. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the love and support. I've been getting so many sweet and kind messages. I wish I could respond to all. I try, but then my fingers get tired, you know. But I really appreciate all your sweet and kind messages and the support that you have given Michael Riz and the support you've given the show. And I want to hug you all, and if I could, I would. And if there's a way to bring Riz back, let's do it. If there's a place for Riz in the show, I would love for us to get it back, because he's such a cool dude, and it's premature to do what happened. You know, to shoot him up like that.
Yeah,
I think it's way too soon, personally, and it's not me as an actor, as me as a storyteller. There was more to tell.
Absolutely. And I think that, speaking from a fan perspective, we wanted to know more, and we felt like we were just starting to get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say gone too soon, absolutely gone too soon. There's more to that story. I want to jump in the live chat because there's a lot of questions here. Sarah wants to know, what is your favorite restaurant in San Diego?
Really, there's so many. San Diego's is full of so many good restaurants. I used to work at this restaurant called Tapenade in La Jolla, which is a wonderful French restaurant. I like French food, and it's right there, and I like that one. But I also like the ones in Old Town where they make the fresh tortillas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Old Town Mexican Cafe. And look, I'm advertising for them, and hey, send me a check. Or at least a stack of tortillas.
Something.
Yeah. But there's so many good restaurants. When I go to San Diego, I enjoy myself so much.
Sarah also says that I'll cook, you wash, taco, and tequilas.
Oh,
I think
okay.
That's a date?
Is it a date? Oh,
it
okay.
It sounds like it.
Wow, okay.
What is the accomplishment you are most proud of?
I think my biggest responsibility and biggest challenge in life is being the best parent that I can be. I have two children, and that's my job number one, providing for them and showing them how to be a kind person, a driven person, a just to get up every morning and do the best you can. As far as my biggest accomplishment, I don't know how you mean that. You mean in the business and do you mean that in show business? I mean, I've had a couple nice gigs. You know, working with Jennifer Lopez was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Working with Oliver Stone in Savages, you know, with Benicio and Salma Hayek, pretty awesome. Maya SMC, pretty awesome. And doing stage work, I did The Seagull, which is Anton Chekhov's The Seagull. Play Constantine, if you know Anton Chekhov, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Dallas.
Oh, working with Judith Light.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was sexy. That was dirty. That was, my God, we should have continued. We had like a strange love affair,
like
thing.
Bond.
Yeah, it's like
chemistry.
It was really cool. It was really cool. You know, I always find good chemistry. I had good chemistry with her. I had great chemistry with Jennifer Lopez. I wish I had more scenes with Salma Hayek.
Mm.
I think we would have fallen in love. Right, Salma?
Absolutely. Right? I see that happening. not to mention the SEAL team. You've done The Rookie, Red Dead Redemption, like you talked about. You've been doing quite a lot of work, and it's almost like such juicy roles. How do you decide per character to prepare for them?
It depends what's on the paper. You know, okay. I have my own personal ideas, but I have to go by what's written on the paper and then branch from there. You know, because there's only a little bit written, and you got to fill in the holes. You got to make it relatable. You got to make it stronger. You maybe give it a little bit of charm. Maybe give it a little bit of something that's not on the page, because it's just words.
Right.
It's you who gives life to it. So
absolutely.
So you decide, and based on the ideas that they have, the creators, the writers, the producers, you collaborate. You know, and sometimes they're open to your ideas, and sometimes
they're not.
Not so much.
JS in the live chat wants to know, how much of a force is Alvarez/Emilio Rivera's on set?
He is a teddy bear. That man is the biggest teddy bear. He's the sweetest soul in the world. I know he plays a badass, but really, no. The guy will cry over a puppy.
Aww.
No, he is. Emilio is a very special person.
Talk to us a little bit about on-set shenanigans, because we hear here and there that there are a lot of, like, jokes between the cast.
They are, you know. I think there's a lot of jokesters, you know. Vincent always playing, you know, jokes on people, you know. Coco as well, Richard, them too. Because, you know, they're the teenagers in the group, you know. It's like nonstop. It's like, okay, it's 5 in the morning. Can you stop? But, yeah, no, there's always, you know, we had a nice, you know, brotherhood within the show, even behind the cameras. You know, we really like each other as human beings, you know, and we just, we vibe well.
Nice. Yeah. I wanted to touch a little bit about Kurt Sutter's exit and what you think that means for the show and what you think that means for season 3.
Well, first, I'd like to say that I have great admiration and respect for Kurt Sutter, because without Kurt Sutter, there would be no Michael Rizarisa. There would be no Mayans MC, because he created this world with Sons of Anarchy, which continues now with Mayans MC. So he is the reason why we have these shows. But change is good. You know, things have to change, you know, and Mayans MC has to be allowed to be its own thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not be another Sons of Anarchy. Yes, it's the same world, a motorcycle club, but it's made up of different people. It's a different club. And so it has different sensibilities, and I think it needs to be allowed to go in a different direction and to grow on its own and let it be what it's going to be. And, you know, I'm grateful to Mr. Kurt Sutter. He is a terrific writer, and he's given us this wonderful world, you know, with Sons of Anarchy and Mayans MC, and I think he's going to do great in whatever other projects he does. But Mayans MC needs to be its own thing, and I think it's great that season 3 is going to be different. I think Elgin James will take it in a different direction. I wish I was still part of it, because then I can contribute to that, because I felt that I was kept on the bench too much.
Your fans feel that very much. So
I felt like a first string quarterback, you know, on the bench. And you know, I don't know why Kurt did that. You know, I mean, it's his show. It was his show. So, you know, he makes the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I know we had a couple conversations and, you know, I mean, maybe disagree on a few things, but, you know, he's the boss.
Right.
But, yeah, I felt like it was frustrating. For me as an actor, it was frustrating because you got to let me move. You got to let me dance. You got to let me fly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm good at what I do and people like what I do. And, you know, people that know my work and they've seen me on other shows, you know, they're wondering, dude, why are you sitting on the bench? I'm like, well, it ain't up to me. But now we're here, and who knows?
Now, were you privy to the letter that apparently Kurt sent out to the cast?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he talks a little bit about on-set tensions, and basically I want to read one line or two lines here. It says, "For those of you wanting to be gone, you win. For those of you who didn't, you win too. Although I will no longer be involved, I have no doubt that the new team will move things forward with the same quality fans have come to expect." Sounds to me like there's some underlying tension there. And for him to write letter seems like he's saying like basically good luck to you, but beep, beep, beep you as well.
Well, the thing is, we're human beings and it's normal to have a little bit of friction. I mean, in any job, there's friction. Whatever job you have, whether you work at Subway, Pizza Hut or the post office, you know, there's always a little bit of friction here and there, difference of opinions and things. You know, but that's normal. That's just normal. There's friction in every show, you know, but we continue to move forward. We collaborate artistically and we move the story forward. He was our leader. He was he's the creator of our show. Without him, there would be no show. Mm. But at the same time, we need to move forward and changes need to happen. I don't know who wanted him gone. It wasn't me. I didn't want it. You know, I think.
Well, I think that there's more because he goes on to say, "I deeply apologize if I've made people feel less than or unsupported. My intention was literally the opposite, but clearly I've not been paying attention. My arrogance and chronic distraction has created wreckage. Just know I adore this cast and crew."
He has a wonderful way with words, you know, to say what the way he said it. Again, that's his personal words. I can't comment on that, what he meant by that. I can only speak of my personal relationship with him and how I feel about him. And I have nothing but admiration and respect for who he is, what he's done, for giving me the opportunity to play Michael Riz, for creating my NSMC. You know, that doesn't mean that we're going to have difference of opinions on things. We're grown men. He's a grown man. I'm a grown man. We're both artistic. You know, I'm an actor. He's a writer. And we might see things differently here and there. And so what? You know, he was my boss. And I didn't make the decision for him not to be involved with the show anymore. That was someone else. That was, you know.
Above our pay grade.
Way above. You know, Disney, Fox, FX, I don't know. You know, we all have bosses and we have to respect them.
Yeah.
So I was not involved in that decision making. You know, personally, I would say that it was frustrating for me to be kept on the bench for too long.
The fans feel the same way. In the live chat, it says, "I think a lot of the Mayans members were unused and unexplored. I hope it changes in season 3.
I hope so too. I hope it will. I think it will, you know, because again, the show has to be its own thing, and I think Elgin will take it in a different direction. I hope. I don't know. I mean, Mayans has to be its own thing. Not you know, I know that it is intertwined with Sons of Anarchy, but.
But it's still separate. It's not Sons of Anarchy.
It has to be separate. It has to be separate. Sometimes we had, you know, a lot of Sons of Anarchy.
Nuggets
coming into our world, and it's cool. I like the guys; they're cool, but that took away from us.
Yeah, you got to let the Mayans fly and become its own thing. I absolutely agree with you.
So I wanted to get my hands dirty more. You know, that's all I wanted. You know, I wanted to play some more, just kick the ball a little more, and that's it.
I've figured it out. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm going to come on as a writer, and as the war starts between the Vatos and the MCs, you are going to come maybe like 3 episodes into season 3, and you're going to say, "I'm not dead, and I want this vengeance to stop, and we're all going to get the money, get the purse, get the bank, and all the bad guys will be dead by then."
Or maybe me and Raul have a pact, and we're the only ones that know.
Okay.
And the club members don't know, but I know his secret, and he told me the only way to get vengeance is to do this, and then I'll be hiding out, getting better. He'll come and visit me, and then the club will find out, and things will go.
Yeah, that works too.
You know,
that kind of works. Yeah. I feel like there has to be, we have to get rid of the Vatos, and then
that's going to happen. Right. Vatos will be out. I mean, because Mayans cannot take this sitting down.
Now, do you think that Taza's character, when he killed you, do you think it's because he was also part of the Vatos and he really wanted to get vengeance? Because we hear him talk about him leaving them with bad blood.
Well, I know that there is some history there from the past with him and Los Vatos Malditos, mm-hmm. way, way before he was part of the club, Mayans MC.
Yep.
I'm sure the writers will explore that because it will justify what happened. Otherwise, what the heck? You know, mm-hmm. people will go nuts. You know, it's exciting. And it's going to be a wonderful third season with new avenues to explore. And I just wish that Michael Riz was part of it, you know.
We do too.
You know, and I know there's some fans out there that do. And it's a cool show. It's a sexy show, isn't it? It's very cool. It's well done. FX has done a wonderful job with the show. I mean, FX is wonderful. FX is a great network.
Yeah.
You know.
I love that. So then what's next for you?
I just did an episode of Magnum PI. I was in Hawaii, you know, getting a tan.
I see it.
You see it?
Yeah.
So that we did that, and that was cool. I'm not sure when it'll be out. Okay. Soon, I think, in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And then there's a couple things that we're looking at, you know. So, but I want to leave myself open for the possibility of coming back as a zombie.
I love that. Again, we talked about change.org petition. Someone out there, one of you fans, should start it, and let's get him back on Mayans MC.
Let's do it.
In the meantime, what character have you not played that you would always wanted to play?
Well, I have a personal fascination with religion. I really do. I'm interested in it and how we get so wrapped up in it, and then we become, I guess, very not religious-like. We become nutty.
Mm-hmm.
And
Fanatics.
And then also what the church has done, you know, which is damage a lot of people's lives, and then not to own it. They hide behind their lawyers. So I that world is very interesting to me, and I've always wanted to play like a pastor.
Okay.
You know, to go in that world and have that duality of trying to do the right thing, but at the same time protect yourself and your job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is what everybody does, which is what the Republicans are doing right now in Washington. They're like, they're protecting their party and their job, but they're not really protecting our country or our democracy.
Yeah.
They have already fallen off the edge. So it's a very interesting duality, I think. In a Western, I would like to do a Western because I look good in a cowboy hat.
He really does, wait, guys. Take it off for 5 seconds. You're okay. Allowed. Pause.
Huh? What do you think? And give me a horse, and then you'll see me fall off the horse. Because I can ride, but... Anyways, I like to do that. And what else? I don't know. I like to play a parent. You know, I really enjoy my work on Shades of Blue because I was playing a parent that was trying to do the right thing and become a good parent.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he didn't have the tools to do so, he was trying to do his best.
Yeah.
He did not succeed. But that was, to me, was like, that's juicy. That's awesome.
So a parent and a pastor.
Yeah.
Now, do you write?
I do write. I have a couple of things written at home. I do. I have a couple items that I've written that people say, ooh, that's interesting, because I do have a crazy imagination.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And who knows? They'll come out later. I mean,
are they for the theater or are they for TV?
No, not for the theater. I have a couple projects. I have one for a TV show. I have another one that could be a feature. It could be a movie or a TV show. And what else? I think there's two or three things.
Okay, that sounds good.
You know,
promising.
Yeah.
So the fans want to know some questions, personal questions, so I'm going to go ahead. For the fans out there, single, taken, or it's complicated?
Ooh, I like the complicated one.
It's complicated.
But no, I have a wonderful girlfriend. If I don't say that, then I cannot come in the house tonight. And I will sleep outside, and I'm going to eat Cheerios. So
you better clarify quick.
Yeah, so no, I do have a girlfriend, so because I want to sleep in bed, not on the couch. And I want to eat food. I don't want to eat Cheerios. So, yes, I do have a wonderful girlfriend. But you know, she lets me. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. Ah! No.
You better stop on your head.
Can we edit that out?
We're live. Sorry.
Oh, we're live.
Yes. Most romantic thing to do for you?
For me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very simple, really. I'm very simple. If you just pour me some tequila, sit right next to me and have a nice conversation with me, like a deep conversation, you know, a serious conversation, not nonsense. I want to talk real stuff.
Yeah, the real stuff.
What are you afraid of? What are your aspirations? What do you want to do? You know, I mean, a good conversation, a good walk on the beach, tequila always, so that I can keep listening to you. Because then they never stop talking. No, I'm just kidding.
What's your favorite tequila brand?
There's so many good tequilas. But if I say a couple names, are they going to send me a bottle?
They should send you a box.
Casa Mexico, are you going to send me? Which is Mario Lopez and Oscar de la Hoya's
Mario, are you
company.
Listening?
Mario, Oscar, are you guys going to send me a box? Huh? Soy Lopez, who's the rep? Huh? Are you guys listening? I need a box at home.
Right.
They've already given me some, so you know. But I like, you know, I like Patron too. I like that there's so many good ones, you know. There's a lot of tequilas that are good.
And so there's a debate, and let's have you settle it. Do you chill and sip, or do you shoot it down?
I'm not a teenager. I never shoot it down. No, I'm not. I chill and sip.
Chill and sip.
Yeah, never. No, I don't do this. No, I'm not. It is not guys gone wild or girls gone wild, whatever that was.
Yeah.
No. It's relax, read a book, listen to some good music, whatever your taste is, some classicals, cool, country if you want to cry, maybe Mexican music, tequila, and then a good book, good company.
Mm-hmm.
The Sound of the Waves, you know, if you live in front of the ocean. And if you don't, you buy one of those CDs and you put it in your CD player and you pretend you live in Malibu.
CDs, VCRs, I'm loving this.
People don't have CDs anymore. I have CDs. You know, but you can't find those things anymore. People say download. I'm like, download what? I want the CD.
Or you could just stream it.
Stream what? How? And where? I know I want the CD. I want to open it.
Mm.
I want to look at the pictures.
Where do you find CDs now?
Well, I used to go to Target, but they don't have that many anymore. So I don't know. And then they closed those stores. What was it? Warehouse? The warehouse where you used to buy all the CDs. They closed them down.
That was like 20 years ago.
Well, I'm still looking for them. I drive around looking for Blockbuster Video, Hollywood Video,
VCR.
The Warehouse, and Sam Goody.
Hmm. That's a lot of driving around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I find the garage sales, and then I find CDs there. I'm like, ooh.
That's what you do.
That's where the good
like
stuff
estate
is.
Estate sales and stuff.
That's right.
Got it. Favorite movie?
There's so many, but I'll name a few.
Two.
Oh,
top
really?
Two. Because sounds like you're going to do like
no,
a list.
No, because it depends. Look, I think Pan's Labyrinth, it's a magical movie.
Okay.
It's like a magical movie for adults. It was a thriller, a romance, a Disney movie. It was so many things. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Pan's Labyrinth was amazing. I also like Mystic River. You know,
classic.
You know, it's just, you know, I like Internal Affairs.
Okay.
That was pretty good. Richard Gere and Andy Garcia, the tension. I was like, what? You know, I like Amores Perros.
Okay.
Amores Perros and 21 Grams. 21 Grams. I mean, there's a lot of movies. We can't, when people say name, there's so many. There's, you know, Unforgiven, that Western, I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of good movies.
Favorite music?
Well, it depends on my mood, but I like Mexican music. I love, because it roots me to my roots, my nationality. But I love classical music. I listen to classical music. I listen to rock and roll. I mean, I love some good, like Tesla. I like when country and rock is mixed.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, that's good. I like Tesla a lot. Bullet Boys, which is, you know, Mark is my friend. You know, I like his music. Badlands, nobody knows this band, but they had two albums and they were the baddest in the ever. Next to Led Zeppelin, the baddest, Badlands. You know, Pink Floyd, The Eagles, Journey. I mean, there's so much stuff. George Michael, I love George Michael. George Michael's so talented. Prince. You know, Anita Baker, when I pray Anita Baker and listen to his soul, her voice and just it's just different mood, different music. And then I play mariachi music when I was coming here. I had my mariachi music with my cowboy hat.
And the sunglasses.
And my sunglasses,
yep.
Of course, you know. And then, so it depends. You know, I like all kinds of music. I love, you know, Christina Aguilera, amazing singer. Just, I respect talent. When people can do something really well, mm-hmm. I just go, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great answer. If you could vacation anywhere in the world, where would it be?
I think it would be up here in Downey. I'm just kidding.
I was like,
sorry.
He those, just said
the people that
Downey?
Know where Downey is, it's like, I'm just kidding. Yeah, right here in Panorama City. I like cities. I like cities. I know
big
people.
Cities?
I like big cities. That's why I like Mexico City. I like New York. I like to feel the art, the culture,
the pulse
of the city. I like to be there. I like to, ooh, what is this? You know, I know people like to go to the beach and go travel all around the world for beaches when we have beautiful beaches right here. San Diego, beautiful beaches. Mexico, beautiful beaches. I don't need to go 20 hours to Australia or I don't, you know, somewhere else. It's like, I don't like long flights. Just go to San Diego, beautiful beaches. Go to Mexico. Go right here to Malibu. Go to Santa Monica, Manhattan Beach. So I like cities. I like cities because I like to get involved in the history. I like to walk around and go, wow, how old is the city?
Mm-hmm.
How big is the population? How many people live here?
Yeah.
It's like, wow. And then, like, when I go to Mexico City and I look at the dates of the buildings and I go, 1600s? This building has been here since the 1600s? Who was walking on this same street? My God. And then I start thinking and my imagination goes crazy.
Yeah.
And I go, who lived here in this building? What was it before? Was it a home?
Yeah.
A bank? A post office? I mean, I like history. You know, and New York too. You know, I mean, it's not as old, but, you know, it's a great city with a lot of history. But I like cities.
I like cities too. Would you ever go to Ibiza?
I heard it's fun, but it's too crazy for me.
So there has to be a little bit of a balance.
I would go to Greece.
You'd go to Greece.
Greece
okay.
is more chill.
Okay.
I want chill. I get crazy, but I get crazy in my own little world once the door's closed and nobody's around. I don't really.
You don't need everyone to see all the business.
I don't need everybody to see me go crazy because, yeah. I'm too crazy. So, no, that's, I like not too many people.
Okay.
So if it's too many people, if it's too crazy, music is too loud, I can't hear a thing. No. Chill, relax, good conversation, just a few people. I like that.
Now, if your children wanted to get into acting, what advice would you give them?
Be yourself because everyone else is already taken.
I love that. Now, for our viewers, where can they find you and where can they follow you? All do all the social media stuff.
You mean like my home address?
Where not,
they can find me in
my
Pasadena.
My address is 111. No.
But I live in Pasadena, but Pasadena is a huge city, so good luck.
Your social media?
Oh, my social media. My social media is, you know, the Instagrams is official, and then there's a little line, and there's my name, Antonio.
The underscore?
There's an underscore, and then another underscore, and then my last name, which is Long Jaramillo, good luck, which is pronounced Jackson. No, I'm just kidding. So it's official, little line, Antonio, little line, Jaramillo. That's the Instagrams. And then the Twitter?
The Twitter?
The little bird. Mm-hmm. Little bird. I have, there's a little A. And then Antonio, and then JMLLO. And then what else do I have? I think that's all I have. Oh, and then there is a Facebook page, I think, that someone set up, and I don't go there much. Again, I try to answer your comments. Thank you. But I also have, you know, I have children. And I got to do dishes, and I got to take the trash out.
$100 a plate, guys.
Yeah. And then, I did a patio this past weekend. I was working on a new patio in my home. I did a whole patio by myself with this guy, Marcos. I hired him, and then me and him did it together. We took the grass out. We took the weeds out. It was tough. Took all that out, then took 3 inches of dirt out, and then we put cement and rocks. It looks beautiful.
Wow.
So I got like
how long did that take?
We did it in 2 days.
In 2 days.
But by Monday, I was dead. I could not move because it was a lot of work. But, man, it looks beautiful. Now I have a place to lounge and sit around
out.
With all the friends I don't have. But
you have your books and the tequila and your girlfriend.
Yes, I have tequila, my books, and my girlfriends.
Yep.
A girlfriend.
Yeah. You're definitely not being allowed back in the house today. You better come with some flowers or something.
Anybody want to let me sleep at their house tonight? Because it looks like I'm going to sleep outside. So, please. I'll take a couch.
For real? It has been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you very much for having me here.
Absolutely.
You guys have a wonderful place here with After Buzz. They do a wonderful job interviewing people in this business and getting to know us on a personal level, so you know the person we are, not just the person you see on the screen. Thank you so much at home to all those people that are watching right now. Really, seriously, without you, there's no shows.
That's right.
Without the fans, there's no shows.
Facts. Those are facts. Guys, Antonio, we are going to see so much more of him. Definitely make sure you tune in to AfterBuzz TV. Send this link to all your friends. Let's start that change.org petition. Get him back on season 3. Till next time, guys. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.